Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Be savvy with technology. Amen. She's getting it. I had to get that word, but hey, it is what it is. I'm going to talk about this series that I'm starting right now is on sin. Everybody say sin. Now, this New Year's Eve, or the day after New Year's, in the middle of the night, God began to speak to me, and it was 5 a.m. And I don't know why God likes 5 a.m, but I don't like 5 a.m, right? I love to get my sleep. But when God is talking to you, you better be awake, amen? So he was talking to me, and he was telling me a whole bunch of things to do in my ministries, the different ministries that I have. He was giving me direction. He was telling me what to do. I woke my wife up and was like, man, God told me to do this. And she's like, man, baby, it's 5 a.m. We can go back to sleep. But I was excited because I knew God was speaking to me. It was an encounter with God. Amen. And in that encounter, he began to tell me some things to preach on for this year. One of the things was bondage. Somebody say bondage. Now, we know that a lot of people are in bondage, but we're not just going to talk about bondage. We're going to talk about how to get free from bondage. Amen. And that's what God wants. He wants his people in this year to be free from whatever is holding them captive. And the only way that we would know how to be free is if we know what is holding us in bondage. Amen. So we're going to talk about sin. I think sin sometimes is one of those words where some of us think we know all about sin because we do it a lot. Or, you know, we were caught up in the world. We thought we knew sin. But sin sometimes is misunderstood. I think sin is a wide variety of things, and we're going to talk about those things today. Also, we're going to talk about Christians living in sin. Is that possible? Is that something that we need to not be doing? Does God's word say that we should live in sin, or what does God's word actually say about that? And then also, we're going to talk about the old man versus the new man. Everybody say the old man versus the new man. Now, all of this is very important, and like I said, this is going to be a series, so today we're just going to get started. We'll see how far we go in today. But a question that we have to ask ourselves is who or what defines sin in our life, right? Who or what defines sin in our life? Sometimes we allow in our life friends to define what sin is, right? Our friends, hey, man, hey, this is the right thing to do. Oh, really? So we go with them, right? So it's almost like peer pressure is drawing lines and saying this is what's right and this is what's wrong. That's one way that some people define sin. If it's cool with the crowd, I might go ahead and do it. If not, I don't know what I'm going to do. Another one is allowing God's word to define what sin is. Or even TV. I've been in church, man, a long time. And since I've been in church, how many of you know TV been changing some of the curse words? Right? There were certain words back in the day that were considered curse words, so they'll bleep them out. Now, some of those words, they say, hey, man, that word is not that bad. Let's let it slide. And basically what happens now, even church people don't think it's a cuss word because it's on the TV. The TV didn't bleep it out. It's not a curse word no more. So what happens is the TV is defining what sin is to some of us, right? But we as God's people have to allow God's word to define what sin is. Let's look at sin in a dictionary. Let's see. You got him out? She's doing a lot over there. She's watching my newborn. She's doing a computer. All right. Webster defines sin as an immoral act considered to be transgression against divine law. And let me break that down because I got a little bit more than that. A transgression of a religious or moral law, especially when deliberate. Now, This is the dictionary's definition. But what does transgression mean? Anybody? Come on, somebody. To transgress. Anybody know? Going too far. That's right. You stepped on territory that might not be yours, right? Or you shouldn't be there in the first place. Some of these buildings you go to say, do not trespass. It's almost the same as trespassing, right? Number two is a theological definition. It says deliberate disobedience to the known will of God. Deliberate disobedience to the known will of God, or a condition of estrangement from God resulting from such disobedience. Number three says something regarded as being shameful, deplorable, or utterly wrong. Another one is to violate a religious or moral law, or to commit an offense or violation. Those are some of the definitions of sin. Now, I was actually looking it up on the internet. There is so many, even in the Bible, sin is not just like a one-word definition, right? Some of us think wrong, but how many of you know you could be doing the right thing but be wrong in God's eyes, right? I could be a good person. I could do everything perfectly in my life. I have everything organized, never hurt nobody, never cheat nobody. And we see it in the scripture where the rich man came to Jesus and he said, I kept all the laws, Jesus. Everything I did since I was a kid, if you want to name the Ten Commandments, I did every one of those. But how many know that he didn't make the kingdom of God at that time because he was not in the right place with God? Amen. And so he thought he could do it on his own. And there's a lot of good sinners. We could cover it up. He's a good sinner. He does the right things. But to God, you're still a sinner. How many know all of us are sinners? Amen. So listen, let's go to Job 13, verse 23. This is my first definition in the Bible of sin. Job 13, 23, and it says, how many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgression and my sin. Now, I'm going to be jumping all over the scripture today, but when we look at sin in this verse, there is sins that we don't know. You see that? It says, let me know, God. There's stuff that I don't know that I'm... That's why we pray sometimes. We pray, dear God, knowingly and unknowingly, any sins that I've committed, God, either show them to me or help me to stop doing them. That's a prayer that we have to pray. Why? Because God, he's going to have to reveal himself to us more and more as we grow closer to him, as sin gets out of our life. Amen? So one of them is, my first definition and the Bible's definition is there's sins that we don't know about. Also, disobedience to God's word. God has a Bible. They call it the basic instructions before leaving earth. I heard somebody say something better. They said the best instructions before leaving earth. I like that one better. The best instructions before leaving earth. If we don't read God's word, we will not know what sin is. How many of us have read something in the Bible and we was like, oh, man, I didn't know that was wrong. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. Well, God just revealed to you what sin was. The Bible even talks about, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just going to give you a little taste real quick. The Bible says that the law was given so that we would know what sin was, right? Without the law, people wouldn't have known what sin was. So we need the law. We need to know what sin is so that we can be in right standing with God. Let's go to James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Once again, we're getting definition of sin. When you know what is right and do not do it, that is sin. Now, that can mean a whole bunch of things, right? There's things that we know that we should be doing. Even as simple as this. Sometimes we know that we should pray, right? God's Spirit is telling us, you should pray, right? But our favorite TV show's on. or our favorite, you know, whatever we like to do. Man, my best friend is coming over, God. But God said, it's time to pray. Amen? If you know what to do, what is good, and you don't do it, that is sin. Let's look at another definition. Iniquity. Somebody say iniquity. Now, iniquity is another word. We see that always with sin. Anybody know what iniquity means? While I'm going to the next scripture. Somebody, you guys got smartphones. Come on, look it up. Iniquity. What does iniquity mean? Anyways, I like that definition. We have sinned with our fathers. In Psalms 106, verse 6, it says this. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. When we see iniquity, it as he says, it consumes your life. And how many of you know that sin will make you a slave? Right? Sin, it's holding so many people captive, and they don't even know it. Right? There's people right now all over the world committing sins because they're addicted to their sin. I wish I'm going to have to find this little skit that I had on a CD, man, that talked about sin and how pleasurable it is. And, oh, man, it's a great thing. But then after that, they give you the side effects of sin. How many of you watch those commercials where they got all the side effects? And you know, you just want to clean your face up, and they say side effects, sudden death, side effects. You know what I'm saying? Your legs might stop working for a week. I mean, the side effects is worse than you're like, man, I don't even need the stuff, man. I'm good. Right? And that's the side effects of sin. Sin looks good. We're going to talk about the very first sin that man committed. Amen. Sin is also lawlessness. Somebody say lawlessness. What does that look like? That means, like, even we have a lot of lawlessness today, man. People don't want to obey the laws of the land. They don't want to obey police. They think every police in the world is bad, and there are some bad police, but every police is not bad. And even if there are bad police, we still must obey the laws of the land. Amen? Unless they're telling you to do something contrary to the word of God, we have to obey the laws of the land. Amen? Let's go to 1 John 3, verse 4. And then I'm going to get to my feature scripture, and we won't be turning for a while. We're going to get in. We're going to dig in. 1 John 3, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And sometimes if you were reading a Bible that you don't understand, get another version. They got good versions for you. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, everyone who commits or practices sin is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is, lawlessness, the breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. Now, that's the Amplified. The Amplified breaks it down. Hey, if you don't understand something in the Bible, look at the Amplified. It's a good version to have. But you see lawlessness, and this is not just... How many of you know when we break the laws of the land, we are also breaking God's law? Because God said he put every man or woman in control that is in control right now. Some of us be like, hey, man, but they don't serve God. That don't mean that God didn't put them there. Right? It's our job to pray for them. So I mean, what are you saying? Jesus there in that scripture was showing them how they in their traditions begin to say, I mean, do you think God wanted to heal somebody? Does it have to be a certain day for God to heal somebody? Or do you feel like Sundays were off limits for God to heal somebody? And what Jesus was showing them, he was saying, you have made traditions higher than the will of God. That's why the Pharisees were in that situation where Jesus kept saying things like, listen to the Pharisees, but don't do what they do. There you go. If he's the Lord of the Sabbath and he tells you to do something, we must what? We must do it. So what Jesus came to show them was, I am, without breaking the law, I am the lawgiver. That's what Jesus came to say. I am the lawgiver. So if I tell you to bow down right now, you must do it. Because so what he was showing them was, let's say, and Jesus even talked about it. If your ox got stuck on the Sabbath in a pit, who won't go get it? Now, is that wrong to get it, or is that the right thing to do? And that's what I said earlier. If they say something contrary to what the Word of God says, if they say anything contrary to what the Word of God says, for instance, if they tell me to stop reading my Bible when the Word of God tells me to meditate on His Word day and night so I'll be careful to observe what He says, if I say, oh, the law told me not, just like Daniel, and the same thing, don't pray. They told him not to pray. He went in his window and continued to pray. And they said, hey, man, we said that was a law. So what happened? Even if he had to first face persecution for disobeying man's laws or even man's traditions for obeying God's word, that's where we're at right now. There's some laws that are being passed, that have been passed, that are not God's laws. And those laws, believers don't have to obey those laws. But if the law is for a Christian and a non-Christian, don't run this red light, I can't say just because this man passed this law that was ungodly, I'm going to run this red light because I'm a Christian and I'm not under. And that's the thing that we have to be careful of. You see what I'm saying? Abide by the laws of the land unless it says something contrary to the word of God. Amen. And that's what, when God's word, see, this is the thing. When you look at the Bible, Jesus was the word, right? In John 1, it says, Jesus is the word. The word was God. The word was with God. And the word made himself manifest. You can read the whole first chapter of John. A lot of people don't get that Jesus was actually the word of God. When he created heavens and earth, it said he was there in the beginning and created heavens and earth with God by the word that was spoken. You know, so when we look at the word of God, when Jesus says something, that's the word of God. And that we might highlight it in red because he actually said that in his body that he came to the earth for. But the whole thing is God's word. And Jesus is the word of God. So I see what you're saying, though. There was laws that they made that Jesus showed them that I am higher than this tradition, because that it became tradition. And that was the problem with the Pharisees. They were so caught up with tradition, they didn't want to do what they were supposed to do. Holy does consider, it still has righteousness. It's a righteous thing to heal a man on the Sabbath. You know, even him taking, they got in trouble. They got mad at Jesus because they were like, hey, what are you doing? Why do you do that? Who told you to carry your bed? And then the dude was probably going home. You know? Let's go to my next definition before I get to the feature scripture. And that's Psalm 78:17. And the next definition of sin is rebel. Somebody say rebel. Now, a lot of us rebel, as he's been saying, against some of the laws. We rebel against God's laws. We rebel against the word of God. And we should not do that. Psalm 78, verse 7. Yet they still went on to sin. And I'm reading from the Amplified right here. Against him by provoking and rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, in the land of drought. Once again, yet they still went on to sin against him by provoking and rebelling against the Most High God in the wilderness, in the land of drought. Anybody know the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt? They always wanted to say, Moses don't know what he's doing. God's appointed man. They were like, man, can we go somewhere else, Moses? Man, I'm tired of this quail that we just getting out of nowhere in the wilderness. You know, like, I'm tired of this manna that's just falling down, you know, and this is what it was. It was God supernaturally providing for his children. They were tired of that. How many of us get tired of healing? How many of us get tired of the things that God provides? That's basically what they were saying. Like, God, I don't want you to provide this stuff no more. I'm tired of it. Can we get something else? What they were doing was saying, we think we could do it on our own. Rebellion is when you think you could do it on your own. When you think you can do it, and that's one of the first, that's the first sin that Satan, Lucifer, committed as the archangel worshiping God. The first thing that he did was rebel. And we're going to see how he got to trick man when he came to this earth as a serpent. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 real quick. We're going to read this whole chapter, and we see the very first sin with man. And as we see this scripture, when God created the world, what is the thing that he said after he created the world? It was good. Somebody say good. God created the world. He made it good. God even had plans. Somebody say, why do we even have sin in the earth? It's because God gave each and every one of us free will. What is free will? That means he gives you a choice. What'd you say? He gave you an option. Today, you had an option whether you're going to wear that outfit or another outfit in the closet. Today, you had an option to say, hey, man, I'm going to wear glasses or I'm going to wear contacts, right? Today, you had the option, and some people think that God is controlling your option, and that's not true. God is in control of everything, but even in his control, he still gives you an option on what to do day to day. He gave you an option to say whether you're going to serve him or not. So we're going to see this option that led to sin into the world, okay? Genesis chapter 3. It says this, and I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. That's my favorite. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the every tree of the garden? Now, let's talk about that. What sin is that right there? Has God indeed said you can't do it? He sinned already, right? Because he's questioning God's what? He's questioning God's authority. He's like, man, did God really say that? I mean, does God really know what he's doing? Basically, that's what he's saying. I don't know if your God gave you the right directions. Let me give you some other directions. This is what the devil does. He confuses. Somebody say confusion. He confuses you to make you forget some of the things that God's word taught you. Right? How many of us have sinned out of confusion? We weren't sure what God's word said because somebody else come and said, hey, man, but, you know, sex before marriage, there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually pretty good. You know, and you was like, oh, man, it might be good because my friend said it. They confused you. Amen. It says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, somebody say, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. All right, so did she know what God told her? Did she know? She's actually not only knowing it, she's quoting it. Truth or lies always have grains of truth. I can't lie to somebody if I don't have some form of truth. There's what they call cults today, where they have some truth, but they twist some stuff up, right? So that you are caught up. I know people now that my wife had a dream just the other day. She said there was somebody she knew in a dream that was trying to get away from something and they were trapped. They couldn't get it away from that. And that's what happens when you are caught by sin and people that are trying to keep you in sin. All right, it says this. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That's the last scripture we read, right? Verse 4 says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, just like Brother Jamal said. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, with Eve's definition of what she was not supposed to do, did she know good and evil? She knew good and evil. She knew that I was not supposed to go touch this tree, right? So what Satan did again, he begins to trick her by taking certain things and saying, hey, he keep going around the truth. Oh, yeah, you know that. That's the truth. But do you really know what good and evil is? See, the devil, he wants to make you confused with even the word of God. He's going to confuse you with the word of God. So when you take scriptures out of context, and then when it's trying to bring scriptures to your remembrance, you're losing what the scripture actually meant. And that's what the devil's doing right here. It said, verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, somebody say, sin is good. It looks good. It looks good. But that it was pleasant to the eyes. Somebody say it was pleasant to the eyes. Sometimes some of the stuff that the world does and the world lives in and the world follows, it looks pleasant to your eyes. That's why they do it. It's called lust. Somebody say lust. It appeals to your lusts. It appeals to your lusts. It was pleasing to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. Somebody say they knew. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And what sin begins to do, it makes you want to hide from God. It makes you want to hide from God. Amen. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. That's another thing that sin begins to do. It makes you afraid of God. People don't want to approach even people that are of God when they're living in lifestyles of sin because they're afraid that God is going to use them to say something to them. This is why we have to live by the word, share the word of God with our family and our friends. Amen. It says this. Once again, verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I ate. Now, did Adam eat it too? But he begins to blame somebody else. He began to point fingers, and that's what sin never has somebody that just starts it. It's like, oh, hey, that person gave it to me, or this person came to me. But what has to happen when we repent, we have to say that I am the one that's wrong. I am the one that did this wrong, and I need to be in right standing with God by confessing my sin, repenting from my sin. That's very important to understand when we deal with sin. Amen. Verse 13 said, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. Somebody say deceived. We know that the devil, once again, will deceive those who do not know the word of God. He deceived Eve, even though she knew it was wrong, because she said it out her mouth. But how many of us know some of the stuff that we say out our mouth, we don't really believe? Right? Some of the stuff that comes out of our mouth, we don't believe. We speak words from the scripture, but sometimes we don't believe them. So what has to happen is faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Sometimes it's not just the first time that you hear the scripture that you're going to understand that scripture, right? Sometimes you're going to have to read that scripture over and over. How many of you know the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword? And when you read the word of God, it says it's living and active. There's going to be times in your life where you read a scripture. You say, man, I read this scripture all my life. I didn't understand what this scripture said. But now God is revealing what his word says to me. What happens is that's because God's word doesn't die. It's not just a normal book. Now, if you read God's word next to the dictionary or what's the bestseller right now? I don't know what the number one bookseller is. But if you read that book and you read the Bible with the same mindset, you're not going to understand the Bible. You will not understand the Word of God with your natural mind. The Spirit of God has to reveal what His Word says. So it's very important to remember that. It says in verse 14, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On the belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life.'" I'm glad that God didn't give snakes legs, because that's already a hideous creature to begin with, right? Just imagine snakes with legs. Man. "And I will put enmity," somebody say enmity, which is hatred, which is making them an enemy, "between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children.'" Now, I was joking with my wife when she had the last baby. I was like, "Man, see what sin did? You over there in pain, and good God." But that was a result of sin. Sin is painful, right? Even though it might be good when you first doing it, it has bad aftertaste. I don't like cranberry juice because the aftertaste. I'll be like, "Oh, man." My daughter had cranberry juice the other day. She drank the whole thing, and then after she was like, "Oh, what is this, Daddy? Why is it still in my mouth?" Sin does the same thing. But the aftertaste is worse than cranberry juice, just to be clear. All right? He says, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Excuse me. "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake.'" Somebody say, "Cursed is the ground for your sake." This is a result of the sin that we have entered in, because we were all born into sin because of sin's nature. We saw it say with Eve and your seed, it was passed between her seed or the man's seed. "All the days of your life, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." That means you're going to have to work. And it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some things that are not easy because of sin. Just imagine Adam. If you think, you look at Adam in the garden, when it came for him fixing the stuff in the garden, all he had to do was man it. All he had to do was make sure everything was cool. Nothing. I mean, just imagine, he never had to use anything to dig in the ground. He never had to go, you know, trim the trees, the bushes. He lived in a perfect world. Why? Because God said it was. Come on, everybody said it was. God created the world. It was good. But because of man's sin, now you got to have somebody mow your grass if you don't want to do it. Right? And some of this is funny stuff. This is part of the fall. People say, "Oh, man, why do things like, what was the shooting in the East Coast? What was that school called? Sandy Hooks, right? Why do those things happen? Because of sin. It's clearly acts of sin, acts of the devil. Somebody that was confused, deceived, and thought, hey, this might be something that I'm supposed to do. This is what my life is all about. For you to do something like that, you have to be deceived. And that's what God is trying to keep his people from being deceived. We have to know the truth, because the Bible says the truth will set you free. Amen? It says at this, verse 18, "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Anybody worked and you were sweating a little bit? Right? You were sweating a little bit. You should have worked a little harder so you sweat more, right? Deshaun, he's a bodybuilder. If you ain't sweating, you ain't working. It says this: in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now, once again, I didn't talk about the dying part. But right there, God showed him, because of you doing this, when it says dust you shall return, what is that saying? You're going back into the ground. So just imagine this. There was no death at all. Animals didn't even eat animals. So imagine going to a zoo, no cages. Now, that's hard for us because now animals eat people, right? I saw somebody with a pet lion, and the lion had a toothache, and he wanted to go chew somebody's leg to get his toothache fixed. And it wasn't really good. It was the owner's leg, and he was in trouble for a little bit. But animals are vicious. They're wild. But before the fall, there was no wild animals. But because of that, death entered into the world. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to talk about this later because I'm going to close in a little bit. There is natural death, right? And there's spiritual death, okay? Sin, what did sin do to them? Was it natural death or spiritual death? Sin will kill your spirit first, and it will kill your natural body. That's why we said the side effects of sin, they're not good. It says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. I'm sorry. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So what is this saying? They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, right? And my dad talked about this. Why were they kicked out of the Garden of Eden? Because if they took of the tree of life in their sinful state, they would have been eternally damned. Okay? They would have been eternally condemned, just like the devil. Okay? Because some of you say, why doesn't the devil get saved? How come the devil can't just repent for the sin that he committed? Because he was already an eternal being. So when he decided to say, hey, man, I want praises to come to me, I want everybody to worship me, he went and said that's the state that he's going to be in for eternity. Yes. Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. He got kicked out. He got kicked out of heaven because of him wanting to take the worship. Because he wanted to be like God, and he tried to convince the men and women, Adam and Eve, the same thing. You need to be like God. The devil's job hasn't changed. He's still trying to tell you, us, even though people don't bow down to people right now, he's trying to convince you that you are God. Right? He's trying to convince you that you are God. You don't need God because you could do it on your own. And pride, that's another word for pride, me doing it on my own. As he said, iniquity, me, me, me. When you have pride in your life, it's one of the worst things that can happen, because if you think you can do it without God, the devil is doing his job on you. So we have to make sure that we say, hey, I must submit to God. I cannot do anything without God. I was talking to another brother earlier this week about Nebuchadnezzar, the man that was king over Babylon. They asked him, who built this kingdom? He said, I did it in my splendor. I did it. I did all this. And guess what God did? God sent him crawling to eat cow like a cow, to eat grass for a time period, so that he would know that you are not in control, but I am in control, thus says God. Amen. Therefore, it says in verse 24, so he drove out the man and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. I like the way that it says to guard the way to the tree of life. And God is still guarding the way to the tree of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man tries to come to me or come to God not through me in another way, he's a thief. He's a liar. And when you try to go and figure out different things, he's going to guard the way to the tree of life. Some people think they're going to get to heaven. They're going to get to heaven and they're going to, hey, God, let me in. And he's like, you didn't go through Jesus. I can't let you in. God is still guarding the way to the tree of life today. Amen. Now, we're going to pray. Some of us have sin in our life that we need to repent of. We need to be cleansed of. And the only way that we can do that is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen. And repenting. What does repenting mean? Repenting means to turn away from the sins and not to go back. People look at David, right? King David was a powerful man of God. When he slept with Bathsheba, he didn't do a whole bunch of Bathshebas, right? There was one Bathsheba, he repented and turned and did not do that again. That's right. You have to acknowledge, and that's why when you go to these Alcoholic Anonymous, they want you to acknowledge what you've done. God wants you to acknowledge what you have done. But we're not going to just leave you with acknowledging. We're going to show you how you can be free. Amen. So let's all stand. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it will impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.